Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
We are on our, fourth week. We're doing our series called Revealed. And I'm excited about it because I'm learning tons. Hopefully you are as well. And we're going to dive in to something that's really honestly a big subject because we've talked about the Noah covenant, the covenant that God made with Noah, that he said he would never flood the earth again, and he gave the rainbow to signify that he would never flood the earth again. So, you know, it's cool. I love rainbows. Anybody else love rainbows when you see a rainbow and they're big and bright? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I always have this, it would be cool to find the end of it, but you know, you never will. Not for the pot of gold. That's cool too. But just the fact how beautiful they are. But we have to remember, that's not just a rainbow for the sake of a rainbow. That is a covenant. Just like a ring on your finger with marriage, it is a covenant, and God said, I will never flood the entire earth again. Now, you may say, well, there's been flooding. Yes, but he said he would never flood the entire earth again. That's a covenant. And then we looked at Abraham. We spent a couple weeks on the Abrahamic covenant. The fact that what I love about Abraham's covenant was that, and I really want you to make note of this, that he was using symbolism that was already around in that day and age, and he used it. So he took... that's why when he asked Abram to get these animals, Abram already knew what to do with the animals. He actually knew how to cut them in half. I know it's gross. It's not something we do today, but he knew to cut them in half, and he just already had this understanding of what God was going to do because covenant was around in that time. Other cultures were doing covenant as well. So when God asked him that, he's like, oh, we're doing a covenant. Interesting. Now, the interesting thing was for Abraham's covenant was the fact that normally both parties walk through, but for Abraham, he had nothing to do with the covenant. It was all on God. That's a good covenant. You know, it's a good covenant when it's a king and it's all on the king, but when it's the creator of the universe and he's like, I'm in charge of this covenant, it's awesome. And you could see Abraham makes a lot of mistakes. You know, he literally lies about his wife and says it's his sister. He constantly, did you know that it says, get away from all your relatives? What does he do right off the bat? Takes Lot, his relative. At any point did God kill Abraham? At any point did God curse Abraham? No. It was a covenant that he had, and although I'm sure God had moments of frustration like Abraham, oy vey, you know, it's like he just kept... He kept learning, kept growing, kept walking, and he made this beautiful covenant with Abraham that he said, you will be the father of nations. And he said that when Abraham didn't even have an heir. And so, you know, tomorrow when it's snowing out, remember, spring's coming. It's not snowing in Windsor? All right. So we'll all go to your house, Faye. But just realize that you know, God's making this promise without any evidence that it was going to happen. And then what does Abraham do? He takes it into his own hands and he's trying to figure out, how do I make this happen? And God's like, no, the covenant's on me. You got to wait. Promises are on me. And so remember, with that covenant, it's not about curses. It's about promises. It's not about curses. It's about promises. Can we miss the promises? We could. But thankfully for Abraham, he said it, that you could still go after the promise even at an old age. Amen? We looked at the fact, we are trying to understand, this is what the series is about, is that we talked about the first week that God revealed through Jesus who he was. And so if God is this way, it's not a different God in the Old Testament, therefore we have to try to understand who God was and what he was doing in the Old Testament. And I'm convinced even more now, 4 weeks in, that we have not always understood the covenants and understood what God was doing. And so we're trying to really dive into what was going on. Amen? All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to challenge. We're going to really, really, we're talking law now. This is going to be a challenging one. Because the law, I was reading a book, and this researcher said, the law, the Mosaic law, has turned more people into atheists than any other, like the three books that talk about it, have turned more people into atheists than anything else. Because a lot of times they can't understand what God was doing. They can't understand the covenant, and they see these laws and they're like, how could a God like this do this? And so we're going to look at that. We're going to dive into that. Can you imagine what it would be like if you had a time travel machine and you went back to the day and age before they had created the wheel, actually, almost everything that we know would not be created. But can you imagine the frustration? It must have been frustration to see people carrying large things. Because in our mind, the wheel has always been around, right? The wheel was invented. And at some point, somebody invented the wheel and went, oh my gosh, this makes life so much easier. And we can look at that and go, why didn't you have the wheel back then? It wasn't invented yet. What I'm saying this is that we have to realize as we're about to look at the Mosaic Law is, and I've said this multiple times, we constantly want to put everything we understand into a story that they didn't have. And we have to go, you know what? This is not what it was like for them. They did not have the understanding. They certainly didn't understand the cross. They had moments that Jesus was being prophesied about. So there are so many things that we unconsciously read into when we read these stories that make us confused. So turn to your Bibles. We're going to go to Exodus. How many have a Bible here? It's always good to have a Bible. I know you have your phone. Here, let's do a poll just for fun while I'm turning. How many like to read out of paper, real paper? Raise your hand. Me too. How many like to do just on computer? You're like a Kindle slash, it's okay, you can be bold and raise your hand if that's you. There's a few of you. My highlighter never works. That's why I don't like it. So, dad joke. Okay, turn to Exodus. We'll start Exodus 1. So what I want to do is quickly catch us up. Abraham had this covenant. That covenant was passed down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that covenant was being birthed through all the generations. And then we have Joseph that was born. And if you know this, everybody knows the story of Joseph, whether you know the accurate story or not. It's not necessarily the Technicolor dream coat, although it was pretty colorful. But most people know the story of Joseph and the fact that Joseph ends up in slavery. He's sent to Egypt. And there his brothers come, and we have that whole unfolding. But what I want you to understand is Joseph is there, and all the people come, his family comes, and then we have generations that are born, and you have a different Pharaoh that rises up and treats the Israelites horribly. He enslaves them for 400 years. So we need to understand when we look at the book of Moses that these are slaves with a slave mentality. That is so important in this story. We have to understand that they have been in slavery for 400 years before Moses rescues them. You know, I could ask Pascal and Julie and Abby, the different ones that work with A21. If you read any of their stories, you know, it's one thing to rescue them from slavery. It's another thing to get the slavery out of their minds. Sometimes it takes years for these girls to come out of a slave mindset. I remember somebody else was telling me they used to adopt children that were in or foster care or adopt children that were in very, very difficult situations. And he said the first time they'd come, this was Chris Valentin, actually, his story. He said that they would eat at our table. And he said these kids, when you know, we'd stop them, we'd say grace, and they would start to dive in. And he said not only that, they would start putting food in their pocket. Why? Because they sometimes didn't eat for days. So if food was available, their slave mentality said, take it while you can. And he had to teach them. And he had to say, no, it's okay. It's okay, because there's going to be just as much tomorrow. So eat as much as you want today. And tomorrow for breakfast, you're going to be able to eat as much as you want. And for lunch, you're going to be, you know, so this mentality. But he said it would take weeks, months, sometimes years for this mentality to break. You also have to understand that they are being raised with the gods of Pharaoh. These are angry gods. These are gods that, you know, Pharaoh is an angry king. Like, it's just a horrible scenario that they're living in for 400 years. It's not just you being raised in it. It's your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And every time somebody's born into that slave mentality, it gets stronger and stronger. So we need these facts before we go into the Mosaic Law, or else it won't make sense at all. You have to understand that hygiene, you know, when you live in these camps, you know, slave camps. Hygiene is out the window. I was watching something talking about the war in the Pacific. It was just mind-boggling. They're talking about being in the jungles and that. And these men, they said that they wore the same clothes for months. And they were dying just as much from dysentery and all the sickness that came with it. They said, literally, our boots were falling apart. So when you live in moments like that, like there's things that have to be adjusted, right? There's things that have to, if you've never known any different, you have to learn. So this is where we're picking up our story in Exodus. And, you know, Moses is raised up. The beautiful thing about Moses, we're not going to go into how, you know, he was born and they, you know, they hid him and then they put him off in the water and he was found and he was raised in the palace. One of the things that's so important is to realize that God had to raise up somebody that knew the palace because he was going to have to bring change, right? You guys following me? All right. So let's jump to, we're going to jump to Exodus 19. I'm going to share some scriptures with you while you turn to Exodus 19. The New Testament talks a lot about the law. And what we're looking at is the law, the old covenant or the law. This is what a lot of the New Testament talks about. And I want to begin to show you how things change very quickly when the law is instituted. Remember what we said? Abraham was never cursed and never killed for making mistakes. The graciousness of God, that was a grant covenant. How many remember the grant covenant? Let me just define that for you. We don't have our slides up. People aren't able to watch online today. A grant covenant is a covenant when a greater and lesser person come into covenant, and the greater one took on all of the obligations. The lesser one only needed to receive the covenant and really to believe. To receive and to believe, but the king, the one that was higher, the one that was in more power, basically took on all the obligations. And that's what we've known until this point. There's no law whatsoever. No law. Basically, he gives them commands, he gives them instructions, and it's their job to believe. All right? I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 3:6. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down if you want to look at it later. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says this, he has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is Paul. This is a covenant not written, not of written laws, speaking of the old covenant, but is of the Spirit. This is the new covenant. So he's comparing the old covenant to the new covenant. Now listen, the old covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. The old covenant is death. The new covenant brings life. You want to see how clearly that is? Okay, I'm going to give you scriptures. You don't have to turn to them. Here we go. Before the law. So we're going to travel to the law in a second, but I want you to understand before the law, this is what it looked like. Before the law was given at Sinai, we're going to go to Mount Sinai, in Exodus 15, 22, verse 22 to 26, the Israelites are grumbling at the start of their journey, and it led to no punishment. They're miserable, they're grumbling, they're upset, no punishment. Numbers 11, 1, 3, after the law, the Israelites grumble, there's a destroying fire that comes and kills them. What do we say? The Spirit gives life, the law brings death. This is a huge transition. Exodus 16, 1 to 15, the Israelites grumble about the manna and quail, led to no punishment. Numbers, after the law, Numbers 11, 33 to 34, the Israelites grumble about manna and quail, and it led to a killing plague. No law, law. Exodus 16, 27 to 30, a Sabbath violation resulted in a reprimand. Hey, don't do that again. That's not, you know, come on, that's not right. After the law, Sabbath violation resulted in stoning. They gathered the entire family and tribe, and they stoned them. Exodus 17, 1 to 7, the Israelites grumble over the water, led to no punishment. Numbers 21, after the law, the Israelites grumbling over food and water, led to the Lord sending deadly serpents among the people. The law brings death, the Spirit brings life. How many are thankful it's better than we thought? We are in the new covenant. But to better understand the new covenant, it's really good to understand the old covenant. And so every time you read in the New Testament, it says the old covenant or law, we are talking about this time in history where Moses institutes with Jesus, or with God, sorry, the law. Now, what we have to figure out is that's a huge change. What happened? God was so gracious. Did he change his mind? Remember that first day I showed you, Danny Silk did it, where often we think of Jesus and then we hide behind Jesus because God's over here and he's like, I hate those people. Do we think like that? Sometimes we might. I hope we don't, but I'll tell you, there are a lot of churches that kind of think like that. They think God is an angry God. But is it possible that God was functioning out of covenants, not necessarily that he even wanted all the time, but the people demanded? And that's where we're going to look. You ready? All right. Exodus 19, are you there? One of the things as we read, I want you to make note of how in shape Moses was. You're laughing because you probably know, right? Moses, I think, was the first CrossFitter. Because you are going to read, actually, the more I read it, I'm like, this guy goes up the mountain a lot. I'm sure if he's in heaven and he sees cell phones, he's like, Jesus, why couldn't we implemented this a long time ago? Because he literally, God talks to him. He's got to run down and talk to the people, and the people give their answer. He's got to run back up. And literally, he does this a lot. So take note of that. There is a reason why I'm bringing that up, though. All right, Genesis 19, verse 1. Sorry, Exodus, not Genesis. I'm testing you. Speaking of test, thank you, hon. Nothing to do with it, but that's good. Do you remember with Abraham that God says that he tested Abraham? I don't know about you. I don't like tests. We talked about this. I don't like tests. But if you're going to create nations out of a man, how many know that you want to test them? You know, if you are, Claude, you've had corporations and that. If you're bringing in a new CEO, how many know you don't just like pick anybody, you do an interview? A pretty solid interview. You know, if you're hiring the janitor, give me a few references, let me see how you clean. If you're hiring the CEO for your company, you're going to want to do a very in-depth, thorough interview. You're going to have multiple candidates. But how many realize, like, he was testing Abraham, and it doesn't seem fair when we read it. Like, man, that's a big test. You're going to have ask him to sacrifice his son? Well, we talked about the fact that he was never planning on having Abraham sacrifice his son. What he was doing is showing that other nations do this to get what they need. Their gods demand it. But he was telling Abraham, no, I'm not like that God. I'm not like that God. You do not have to sacrifice your son. And you did really pass a huge test. So you will now be the father of generations. So what we're looking at here in Moses, did you know that God's talking to individuals up until this point? He's talking to individuals, and he's about to change everything because he wants to talk to a nation. And he is the word test is going to come up because this is huge. If you're going to be my people and you're going to hear my voice, I got to test you in this. So this is where we're at. They are at Mount Sinai in chapter 19. Verse 1, it says, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Verse 2, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. So they're at the mountain of the Lord. Verse 3, and Moses went up to God. So this is, he's going up. Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Really key things are about to be said here that we have to read. Verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. At this point, there is no new covenant, but he is literally speaking a covenant over them. He's saying, listen, if you will follow my commands and follow me, I'm going to make you a special people. It gets even more interesting. And you shall be to me, listen, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. It is so interesting that it's easy to negate this. He literally says, I want to make a kingdom of priests. It's just a few chapters later, we have a tribe of priests. He literally says, now what is a priest? A priest is somebody that stands before God and people and is a mediator. We mediate between God and people. Now, I'm thankful in the new covenant, you're going to quickly learn, I don't have to be the mediator. Now, I do some mediation, but you each have a relationship with God in the new covenant. But what we need to understand is he's saying, listen, I want to make your entire nation priests. Did you see that? And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. A few chapters later, we have a tribe of priests. Something happened. Something went wrong. Something changed. What does he say? A special people. I'm going to read for you here quickly. You can turn to it if you want. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You will know this. But you are not like that. This is Peter. For you are a chosen people. This is New Testament now. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You guys catching this? He is wanting to create out of one nation a whole kingdom of priests. He's got a plan. He wants this nation to literally be mediators for the entire world. Claude brought it up. He wanted dominion. We often think dominion means taking over. No. He literally says, I want a mediator between the people. You can represent me upon the earth. You can literally represent me with all these nations around you, a kingdom of priests. This is the invitation. Isn't that beautiful? But something goes wrong. You have 400 years of slaves going, that's cool. That's awesome. I really think they wanted to. Let's read it here. Verse 7. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded them. Verse 8. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Where did he go? Up again. Right? Up, down, okay? So literally the people are like, that sounds awesome. We're in. Let's do it. We want to be the priests that you're talking about. Then verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. Interesting. He is literally inviting them to say, I'm going to speak, and they're all now going to be able to hear. Moses, you've been able to hear my voice, but I'm going to speak to you, and they're going to be able to hear too now. It's going to be so awesome that they get to finally hear my voice. We have a little kind of a prelude, right? Thick cloud. Okay, interesting. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 10, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. It's always interesting, third day, right? For on the third day, the Lord will come down. Moses is like, finally, I'm so tired of going up that hill. He's coming down. The Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in all the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. So they're putting some boundaries in place. Like, you can't get too close, but I'm going to come down and talk to you. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So he's like, listen, this is how it's going to go down. I've set boundaries. You can't let the people get close because this is what God's saying. Don't let them get close. But when you hear the trumpet and it blasts long, come close. You can come close once the trumpet is sounded. So they're all like, all right. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. I could make jokes about that, but I'm not going to. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely covered in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon the mountain, on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to go to the top. So we're going to stop there for a second because it seems like all is going well, but we got some missing pieces. God comes down. They're not allowed to get close until the trumpet sounds. The trumpet sounds, they get close, but it's not like God's come down like, hey, folks, there's like fire and thundering and lightning, and it literally scares them. Now, there's a reason we're going to look at this in a second, but I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy. We're doing a lot of scripture today, but I really want you to get this. Turn to Deuteronomy 5, because there's a part of this story we need to understand what happens here, because the covenant is going to change. It's going to change very quickly, and it's going to look so different. You need to understand that he's inviting them into a grant covenant again. He's even inviting them literally into a kingsman covenant or a kingship covenant. But it's going to change because of their unwillingness. How many had a chance to read my newsletter, the newsletter we put out? I put a little bit into it. I talked about drawing near, and this is where I want to go with this. Deuteronomy 5, verse 23. If you're there, say, I'm there. Awesome. You guys are amazing. 23 to 27. Missing pieces to the story. Here we go. So it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Changing moment right here. They see it all happening. They see that man doesn't die. Moses doesn't die. And yet this is the decision they make. Verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of our Lord, our God, anymore, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Verse 27. Game changer. You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and you tell us what the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. That is the greatest moment of pain that will follow them for 1,300 years. Because in that moment, in the earthquake and the shaking and the fire, they said, listen, we see that God's amazing. We see, and yet in a few chapters that we'll look at next week, they quickly change their mind constantly. Why? They have a slave mentality. But right now they're looking at like, my gosh, the mountain's trembling. There's smoke, there's fire. We hear the voice of God. And they make this decision. Moses, you go near. We're going to draw away. And in that moment they made that decision, they said, you be our mediator. You tell us what to do. And they chose relationship for rules. You got to get that. They chose relationship, a covenant relationship like Abraham. They chose over that. They chose, listen, you go. Just tell us what we need to do. Give us the rules. Why? 400 years, that's all they knew was rules. That's all they knew. They lived for 400 years under a slave mentality of rules. They woke up, they were told when to work, where to work, how to work, when to eat, what not to eat. 7 days a week. 7 days a week, that's all they knew. And that's what they're comfortable with. And Moses was bringing this opportunity because Moses was not a slave. He knew Pharaoh. Pharaoh was like his dad. He grew up in this. He's like, no, come with me. They're like, no, you go. We're just going to be those slave-minded people. give us all the rules we need, that's good for us. Turn back to Exodus with me to 19 or 20. We'll open it up a little further. Exodus 20, verse 19. Where does the time go when you're having fun? Verse 19 of Exodus 20. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Such a tragic moment in the history of Israel. Because from that moment on, he instituted a law, and it just keeps getting worse because they keep failing the covenant that he brings. We're going to look at that next week, but you need to understand that we live in a day and age. Oh, the other thing you need to understand is that they were not redeemed people. So a lot of the things were like, why couldn't they just get close to God and not be afraid and all that? Well, they weren't redeemed yet, but God was trying to build this relationship with them. It's very interesting. If they would have said yes to that, how things would have unfolded, we don't know. Could they have been a nation of priests back then already? We'll never know. But I think that's interesting because we live today where he's like, you can be my priests upon the earth. But I think we live in the same time where that's not a curse, it's a promise. You could do this, but we have free will to say, no, I don't think so. Do you know that every time you go to the grocery store, you can be a priest to the people around you? It doesn't mean you set up shop and take communion with people. That's not what we're talking about. A priest is a mediator. A priest is one that brings peace. We're going to talk about that when we get to the new covenant, but every time you go somewhere, you can have the same promise to go close to God and be like, Lord, today I'm going to be your priest wherever I go. Whether I talk to somebody or I don't talk to somebody, I can still bring the peace. We live in a day right now where people need to feel hope and peace. They don't need to hear the headlines. They don't need to hear the worst things. They need to hear, like Claude said today, no, our kids will live. But I dare say, and you may disagree, and that's totally okay, but I dare say that we have been, from books and different things, living in a day where we always believe the worst instead of the best. If nothing else, we should be like, Jesus is coming back, so there's something good. But I'm telling you, our slave mentality, just like the Israelites, have been formed by things that we've read that are not always biblical, but fictional. And sometimes we begin to think that it must be this way. Instead of thinking, no, I'm a priest upon the earth. I have authority upon the earth, and my prayers make differences. So therefore, my prayers and my worship are going to cause things to change. So I think we have to, just like the Israelites, we have to draw near to God. And I personally think when we are in fear, when we're in worry, we are stepping back because that's exactly what they did. The hill is trembling. There is smoke. It's quaking. I can't do this. No, we are under a new covenant that Jesus paid for, and we will get there, and it is going to be the best news. I know you all know that, or most of you know that, but you just need to understand that we can draw near. You don't know what I did yesterday. That's what the cross was about, for forgiveness, so you can draw near. And every time we worship, when you don't feel like you can be close to God, you need to battle that lie and go, no, that's a lie. I am under a new covenant that Jesus paid, so I can draw near. And the crazy thing is, even under a new covenant, we sometimes can draw back, and he gives us free will to do that. But he's like, no, draw near so I can have a kingdom of priests. So what we're going to understand next week as I close, that God and Jesus, three in one, God has to literally reshape his covenant with them because of a decision they made to not draw near and to stand far back. And he begins to implement not only the Ten Commandments, he's going to implement, actually, we'll get to this next week, but as I did research, there were already laws in place. I'll share with them, there were Babylonian laws, and they have record of this, that were somewhat like it, but they were brutally harsh laws. And what I hope you see next week is that when Jesus makes these laws, he's actually gracious compared to those laws. And he's teaching them how to have good hygiene. He's teaching them how to walk through all the things for 400 years that they had to walk through. He's actually more gracious than we think. Amen? But I want you to know that a lot of times when we look at these things and we see a harsh God, he's actually, in the time period, a gracious God, giving invitations over and over again. You'll even see he does it throughout the law, invitations over and over again. So where are you at today? I hope you are drawing near. And if any part of you thinks, I can't draw near to this God because I think he'll hate me for what I've done, that is a lie. If you need any proof of that, you guys know. Paul, who was Saul, killed the very brothers and sisters to the people that he ministered to much later. When I read Paul's writings and I think, how did you climb over that in your mind? Because he took on the full cross. He took on the full redemption. I'm sure he must have had moments where he wept horribly because he would literally go and minister. That's why they were afraid to let Saul come near them, or Paul at this point, because they're like, don't you know who he is? This is like a trap, man. This is a conspiracy. He's going to come in and he's going to tell everybody where we're at. And he would minister to the very people that he probably killed, or at least said, go ahead and kill these people. Oh, mind-boggling. So if you have any reason why you don't think you can get close to God, Paul's got you beat. Honestly, Paul's got you beat. And there are a lot of people in here that probably have you beat too. And yet the cross. We heard from Dorman last week. The cross. The cross. Aren't you thankful for the cross? Why don't you stand? Going to go out and fly a kite. Yeah. Or somebody else may be the kite, so everybody hold on to each other. Man, the covenants are better than we think. And the new covenant is so much better than we think. And I'm convinced that, like the Israelites, that we're going to get rid of hundreds of years of slave mentality so we can be free. And I hope, like you, if you're like, I don't think I have any slave mentality, just say, yeah, you probably do, because I know I do. But we're going to break free, amen? So, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you that we live in a beautiful covenant. Lord, we turn our hearts. We draw near to you over this next week. We draw near to you. Lord, we choose to draw near to you every day, to talk with you, to just love on you. And, Lord, I pray that as we leave here, we would realize that we are priests. Each one of us get to be mediators with our families to show the goodness of God. We thank you, Lord. Have your way today. I bless all those that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, I want to read this last thing. Listen to this word, because I forgot to finish reading it. This is 1 Peter 2:9. I read it, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And I didn't read this. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You can show others, tell your neighbor, you can show others the goodness of God. All right, go have fun and go love on people. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.